I can't help but to acknowledge again the last week at the gathering, when I was there coming and inside the gathering, I saw this beautiful array of table that Beth and her team just beautifully set up. I took several pictures and then showed that to the district superintendent and to the other pastors. They were amazed. How did your church have done that? And I'm just thankful, Beth, for putting them all together and your team. It just kept on coming back in my mind. I brought some of the plants with me, and in fact, I brought it to my mom, and she was so delighted when she got the plant there. I gave a few of that plant to the facility where she's staying in Carrboro. So thank you. Thank you for the wonderful. And thank you, Wayne, for teaching me more about tobacco than everything that I have known so far. That was a big eye-opener. You know, it's quite a challenge this morning to preach on this fourth Sunday of Easter without talking about sheep and shepherd. There are featured prominently in our lesson this morning, as every year on this particular Sunday, we have a triple celebration, not just the fourth Sunday of Easter, not just Mother's Day, but today is Good Shepherd Sunday. Always, fourth Sunday of Easter, it's always Good Shepherd Sunday. All across the pulpit, in all different mainline denominations, they will be preaching about the shepherd this morning. They'll be saturated with that story of John chapter 10. So the gospel lectionary bring us back right smack in the middle of the fourth of the John's gospel, talking about this very familiar theme of sheep and shepherd. There's always a danger for us to say, I've heard that story, Pastor, and begin to assume that we already know the story. I hope that we will be more generous in listening to what the Spirit is going to say to us in a new way, so that this old story will bring in a new inspiration for us, especially in nowadays that we're facing so much conflicting noise out there in the world that try to distract us and pull us in all different directions, in the hope that we will listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your power and with your transforming message. As we hear your word, I pray, Lord, that your voice will be the voice that we will hear. Remove all the things that will hinder us from listening to the Good Shepherd. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. I'm sure if I were to ask you to think back to your childhood and recall one of the first images that you had about Jesus, I'm pretty certain that the Good Shepherd will be one among the most common. You remember those image of or picture of Jesus holding a staff on the one hand, and on another hand, there is a lamb draped over his shoulder. Do you remember that when you're growing up in the church? That vivid picture, or maybe the shepherd or the sheep holding, you're holding the shepherd holding a sheep right here, like a baby. I recall those moments when that being taught when I was in grade school or vacation Bible school. The identity of Jesus as the Good Shepherd is all too familiar to us. And as I've said, it's so easy to miss the significance of the truth behind Jesus being our shepherd, because we have heard this story many, many times, over and over again. And we are not even aware of the depth of that power of that imagery of why the Gospels, the writer of the Gospel really made that a big emphasis. And not only that, the whole image of the Good Shepherd run through the story of the Bible. And we miss the opportunity for us to connect and relate the power of that Good Shepherd and sheep into our own day-to-day lives. In the ancient Near East culture, the profession of a shepherd was a very popular one because sheep were a popular source of meat, and their wool at the time was a major source of material for clothes. In other words, shepherding was a very popular profession, just like nowadays where we have business. When I was checking on the news, of all the graduating class, I said, I'm curious to click that. What are the professions right now that people wants to engage in college? The topmost right now is business, followed by medical field, healthcare. Those are the two top. The nonprofit are always at the bottom. That includes the church. I'm not surprised. But if you're going to make a ranking during Jesus' time, what's the one of the top profession? Can you make a guess? Shepherding. Shepherding was a very popular profession. That's why in the Bible, Jesus always used the image of shepherding the sheep, which is very familiar to Jesus' audience. In the ancient Near East culture, Jesus is a master storyteller, so people can relate to his story. So that's the reason why he used that language to connect with the people. After all, they live in an agricultural region where shepherds and sheep were everywhere. In fact, if you go to Israel, if you go to the Holy Land, you will still see a lot of sheep. So the question for us is this morning is, how does this whole thing about Good Shepherd relate to our day-to-day lives? And what lessons can we learn about the story of the Good Shepherd and the sheep that we can apply? As I studied the scripture in the last couple of weeks, there are four important biblical principles that I'd like to share with you this morning that will help us really get us into an understanding of why Jesus used this image of Good Shepherd and the sheep, with this audience. And the audience there were the Jewish opposition. They're questioning Jesus' identity. He could have used all other identities that he had, but why he used the Good Shepherd? So let's plunge in. You can write it down. There are four aspects that I want to share, though they are non-exhaustive. The first, Good Shepherd knows who we are. That's the first point. The Bible says that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who knows the sheep, who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep and will bring all the sheep into one flock. Listen again to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Let's stop here for a while and reflect. That's the power of this relationship between the Good Shepherd and between the shepherd and the sheep. Every shepherd that takes care of their flocks, they have to know them. In fact, some of the shepherds even name their sheep. They have names for the sheep. If you go to the state fair, you can ask some of them. They will tell you, we got names for those sheep. I know that we've done it for horses. We've done it for our favorite pets. But sheep are considered part of the family of shepherds. So they have this kind of inner relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. If there's one amazing truth about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, is that he knows who we are. He knows everything about us. He knows the bad side of us and the good side of us. He knows the ugliness of us and the beautiful side of us. He knows our weaknesses and He knows our strengths. He knows our fears. He knows our hopes. He knows our victories. He knows our failures. He knows everything, all the strand of the hair that we have. That's what the Bible says. He knows everything. And there's nothing to hide and nothing we need to hide at all. This good shepherd knows the sheep. If there's one amazing truth about that, is that He's not calling us randomly or abstractly or in general way. He also calls us by our name. He knows our name and the person we are coming to be. I know sometimes it's hard to face the importance of that important promise because we are hesitant to be fully known to others, don't we? Sometimes we kind of cloistered ourselves, maybe perhaps fear of overly being vulnerable to others, or maybe we fear rejection. Will you still love me even though you know a lot about me? I'm sure some of us have said that at some point in our lives. But this good shepherd knows the sheep. The same true in our relationship with Jesus. He knows us. He knows everything. And because He knows us so well, this leads us to the second point that I want to share, that this very good shepherd who calls us and knows who we are wants us to recognize His voice. Did you know it's very important for the shepherd to have that kind of distinct voice for the sheep to recognize the shepherd? They have developed that. Because as what I've said among children's time, they're pretty much a very dumb animal. They will only follow the voice of that distinct voice of the shepherd. If a stranger comes along, if another voice will come along, the sheep would shrink back, according to the study. It's no surprise that during the World War I, this is a true story, when a group of Turkish soldiers decided to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem, they had to face the fact that the shepherd was the only one who could control the sheep. And so the shepherd did the only thing he could. He put his hand on his mouth and gave his own particular distinct voice or call that he used every day to gather his sheep. And when the sheep heard that familiar sound, they stopped. They turned and came back to the shepherd. Listen again to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that true as always as the body of Christ? As followers of Jesus? Those who are children of God will hear His voice, are called to hear His voice. The problem in today's society right now, in our culture today, there's so many noises out there in our world that we could not even hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. We hear the noises that's competing against our priorities in our lives today, that we hardly even recognize the voice of Jesus. He knows you better than you know yourself. Can you hear His voice? Are you intentionally listening to His voice? Even the voice of Jesus goes unheard unless something within us make the choice to listen. That's why some of us are being challenged, facing different, situations that are spinning off uncontrollably is because we have tried to do it our own thing. Instead of listening to the one true voice, we are succumbing ourselves to the noises of the world. How do we guard ourselves with that? The Word of God is the first line of defense to listen to His voice. I can see myself relating to that in many ways, that if I don't ground myself into the Word of God, I can, just like any sheep, I can be wandering around, floating. So this is a very important practice that we need to hold on in order for us to keep attune ourselves listening to the voice. So the Good Shepherd knows who we are. He knows everything. And the same Good Shepherd calls us and wants us to recognize His voice. The third point I want to share is that the Good Shepherd protects us. Dr. Kenneth Bailey, in his book, The Good Shepherd, here's what he says, and I quote, "Sheep have a very special problem. They have no defenses. Cats have teeth, claws, and speed. Dogs have teeth and their speed. Horses can kick, they can bite, they can run. Bears can claw, bite, and crush. Deer can run, but the sheep have no bite or claws and cannot outrun any serious predator. They can butt other sheep, but that ability will not protect them from a wolf or a bear. The sheep's only security, and listen to here, church, the sheep's only security is the shepherd," end of quote. Is this a big revelation for us, church? Though we realized how sheep are so dependent to the shepherd? Isn't that an interesting how God used that as an image of us being defenseless, being out wandering around, that we don't have the thing that can protect us except if we depend on the shepherd? Listen again to verses 28 to 29. "No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. And no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand." See, a sheep without a shepherd can easily be snatched from the fold. Yet believers are part of Jesus' flock and cannot be taken away by spiritual wolves or lions or anything else, because Jesus promised us that He is the Good Shepherd that will protect His sheep. Those who belong to the fold are safe for anyone or anything that will seek destruction. No one can snatch them out from the Father's hand. Isn't that a good news for us to hear today, in the midst of all the things that are happening in our lives and in our world today, that we have this God who likened Himself to be the Good Shepherd, who cared deeply for His sheep? Perhaps the most vivid depiction of the shepherd-like care that the Lord have ever exercised is particularly articulated in this beautiful word on the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I've read this Psalm 23rd hundreds of times and recited in many funerals throughout my 25 years of ministry. These beautiful words captured the kind of care and kindness and provision and protection and sheer love of the heavenly shepherd for His precious sheep. They highlight just why the Lord is indeed the Good Shepherd. Think that for a second, church. That promise of a God who protects us, who cares for us, who never wants to lead us astray, and always going to be there when troubles kicks in. That's the promise that He gave us. But He never stopped there, because finally on this particular statement in John chapter 10, He said another most important promise, and that is the fourth point that I want to share. Listen again to what Jesus says, this time on verse 28. "I will give them eternal life. And they will never perish. I said, wow, thank you, Jesus. You not only know us by our name, you're not only calling us and claiming us to be one of your own. You're not just building a relationship with us through this voice and through this kind of protection that you keep on offering us. But here's the same God, the same good shepherd who's promising us eternal life. But we sometimes miss the point, because many of us understand eternal life in a way that when we die, that will be only the time that we're going to have eternal life. Have we kind of fallen into that kind of misunderstanding? That eternal life only happens when we die? See, eternal life does not begin when you die. Eternal life begins the moment you give your heart for Christ. Eternal life begins right here on this earth when God's Spirit breathes into the Spirit of the living God. And our spirits spring to life for the first time. Suddenly we have the capability to live without sin. That's also the beginning of how you live your eternal life in the here and now. You can stand on that promise backed by the Word of God. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." See, church, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation now, you know beyond any shadow of doubt that you have eternal life. The most famous quote from John 3:16 says it so rightly. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish but have an everlasting or eternal life." It didn't say there that once you die, that's where only you can have an eternal life. It begins once you give up your life for Jesus. That promise of eternal life is an assurance that you've been living out, that you and I have been living out. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference in how we perceive things. It makes a difference on how we prioritize our lives. It makes a difference on how we relate with each other. It makes a difference in how we are to be the church. It makes a difference on how we have this living vertical relationship with God and horizontal relationship with each other. Church, as we close this message, some of us here this morning are going through some tough trials. Some of you here online are facing some challenges. I don't know what's going on in your life today. But hear the good news. The good shepherd knows everything on what's going on in your life. He knows who you are. He calls you by your name, and he wants you to recognize this distinct voice. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to claim the promise that this good shepherd will always be there for you, loving and faithful, who will protect you at all costs, promising you to snatch you away from danger and to offer you eternal life and lead you all the days of your life, despite all the trials and tribulations and whatever this world throws at you. Will you hold on to that promise? Come and meet this good shepherd. And may we have a life-giving relationship with the one who is the good shepherd, our Lord, who is risen from the grave, the very one who died and gave his life, and the one who victoriously rose from the grave, Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. In a world that is so much noisy, in a world that there's so much distractions that keep us from listening to you whole, Lord. Help us this morning to find a distinct voice that comes from the Good Shepherd. That will call us and remind us of who we are and whose we are. That will invite us to embrace this Good Shepherd and his promises to be with us and to protect us and to offer us new life. Life with all its fullness. May we come and meet Jesus, the Good Shepherd, not just today, but every day of our lives. As we experience eternal life, not just in the future, but in the here and now. And may we do so. In the name of the Father, Son, of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen.